coming up on the Movie Review Crew podcast.
I am 100% with the fans of the Halloween movies. You're making a Halloween movie. Make a Halloween movie. Yeah. Who are you making it for, if not for the people that have watched your 150 movies in the franchise up to this point?
This is only the 13th movie.
All right, welcome everybody to another edition of the Movie Review Crew. I'll be your host, Shane Chronican, and joining me again is Matt McNeil.
Hello.
And Aaron Chronican.
Hello.
Apparently we're just down to like a three-person podcast. Is that what's happening?
I mean, I'm fine with that.
Or maybe everybody else is like, yeah, screw horror month.
I mean, Steve's busy with his child in a new house, and Dudley's trying out for the next season of Jersey Shore while working in New Jersey, and, you know, busy people.
Yeah, I feel like those are excuses, and they need to get their priorities in order because it's friggin' horror month.
Well,
I agree.
Speaking of, I think maybe I need to find some excuses to go visit Jersey.
Here's the deal. We're going to have to start calling this Horrorable Month.
Horrorable Month. Golly.
Now.
Because, damn.
This one wasn't that bad.
I mean, I'm just saying. Here, at the we are on movie number 3 for October. We have a 5.34 score and a 5.42 score.
But to be fair, these have all been blind. Like, no, two of them have just came out.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah. You know, like maybe horror movies do suck cheeks, you know?
No, they don't.
Maybe A24 needs to release something. Because that's about the only way we get good ones.
That's not true.
Eventually get to Halloween Ends. In the meantime, has anybody seen any horror movies or any movies at all that are worth mentioning?
Yes. Okay. I texted you guys my new favorite horror movie of 2022 is what has to be like a super duper low budget movie that was released on Shudder called Deadstream. And it's a horror comedy about some streamer that streams this live event that he's going to this haunted house overnight, and things happen, and you know, not good things, horror type of things.
You don't say.
It's fun. I don't want to spoil anything, but it is a pretty darn fun movie. It's not great, but it's definitely a blast, and it's definitely worth the hour. It's only an hour and 27 minutes. It flies by. It's definitely worth seeing. So if you have Shudder, or even, I don't know if it's available to rent if you don't have Shudder, but definitely check it out. And the directors, I mentioned last week, that new VHS, you know how they have those little compilation movies?
Uh-huh.
You know, VHS 99, I think, is the new one. The directors of Deadstream are directing a segment in that new VHS movie, so I'll check that out. But anyway, yeah, that's the only, I guess, horror adjacent. I also watched Beast with Idris Elba.
Yeah, more of a thriller, but sure.
Creature feature type of thing, but meh. My summary.
It was entertaining.
I would watch Idris Elba. I would watch Idris Elba watch paint dry because he'd make it entertaining. But I just don't. What does he do? Every movie he does is just dumb. I don't know why.
It wasn't dumb. It was exactly what it set out to be. It was an intense, fun.
It was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine.
I mean, what do you want from a Lion Attack movie?
Finished CGI that wasn't made by a fifth grader in his first time doing CGI.
Okay, give him more money then.
I don't know. And it's like they decided, oh, it would look terrible to have this awful CGI lion fighting Idris Elba. So what we'll do is make it an awful CGI lion fighting an awful CGI Idris Elba.
Oh, that's
so
fantastic.
The whole thing's terrible.
Yeah.
No, that's great.
I think amazing. The lion CG, it was not bad. That was fine. I didn't mind. It was when I decided to do a digital Idris Elba was where it got clunky, because a lion, you can mimic the movements better. The human movements just
no. You have to do that.
You have to just film Idris Elba fighting a real lion.
Whatever happens, happens. If you're gonna put in an awful CGI lion, you are required to put in an awful CGI Idris Elba, because
the lion wasn't that bad.
Like, it was truly, it's like Idris Elba's whole skin tone changed.
Yes, and his was
horrendous. Like this weird, nasty.
The lion
looking,
wasn't that bad.
The texture of his everything was, his shirt was silly. It was bad.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was actually, Idris Elba was very good in it. And then, what's the other guy's name?
Copley?
Charlton Copley, who's usually always good.
Yeah,
was very good, and the scenes between them that had nothing to do with the lion thriller action, it was just two friends catching up, were very good. The daughters were just,
they were fine.
They were just put in there to make dumb decisions and put people in danger and move the movie along, but
as children tend to do.
Yeah, at some point I'd have been like, you know what, just go die, child of mine. I'm sick of it.
I mean, it was
every
fine.
Time he's
it
like,
fine,
don't about... leave the car. The little girl was like, I have an idea. I'm going to leave the car. I'm like, oh, my God, just let her go.
Yeah, but sometimes she
Bye,
did
sweetie,
things.
Have fun.
Sometimes she did
I hope
things.
You find your dad.
Matt, have you seen anything?
No, not other than this. Nothing new, nothing recent. Clerks 3 is on my list of movies to watch, but not during horror month, so
I mean,
I'll watch it after Halloween.
Well, since
it might be horror,
since it's horror month, I just continue to watch low budget action movies. So I watched the brand new Netflix action movie.
Oh no, okay, yeah. Enough said.
Yeah,
Move on.
A Blackout with Josh Duhamel, I think is how you say his name.
Yeah. Did he continue his the last thing I saw him in was Ambulance, and he was so dumb and awful in that one.
It's pronounced dumbass.
Ambulance?
Yeah, was it? He was the wasn't that Josh Duhamel?
I don't think you know who Josh Duhamel is.
I'm fairly certain he was in Ambulance.
I'm looking at
Blackout is a very low budget action movie. It's only an hour and 20 minutes long. It's very quick pace. It's not terrible. Duhamel's good in it. He's believable. Abby Cornish is in it. She's always good. Nick Nolte's in it. He's always good. So it was fine.
It was Garrett Dillahunt in Ambulance, and they're the same guy.
Yeah, no, they're not the same guy, because Garrett Dillahunt is a great actor.
Is he?
A great
that was my question.
Character actor. Yeah, you know what? I stand by it. He's a damn good actor. You guys can all eat my
name. One.
Right. Here's evidence. Number one, he was in Ambulance.
Okay. So was Jake Gyllenhaal. You're going to say he's not good?
Not recently.
So is Yahya Abdul-Mateen. You're going to say he's not good?
Not after seeing Ambulance.
Okay, all their careers are just over. Shit now that they're in Ambulance.
All of their careers are over.
I mean, to be fair, I can't tell you any movies that they've been in. I know that Yahya Abdul-Mateen was in Aquaman, and that movie wasn't good either.
He was in Candyman.
And he was fantastic.
Oh, he was in Candyman. That's right.
And Gyllenhaal, come on.
Gyllenhaal hasn't done anything good in 10 years. I'm starting to question his decision-making processes when taking roles.
Decision making isn't talent. He's still
I'm upset
good.
With him.
Anywho, that's all I've watched. Blackout with Josh Duhamel. And if you're into action movies and you just want a quick paced hour and 20 minute long.
Yeah, if movie, you are into Netflix movies with a 3.8 on IMDb starring Josh Duhamel and directed by a dude with a last name that's Macaroni.
Yeah, his name is Sam Macaroni. How cool
then
is
go
that?
Go for it. Yeah. But you know what? I'm not watching ever. An action movie on Netflix with a 3.8 on IMDb.
Huh? You're missing out.
I prefer Mark Spaghetti.
Yeah, he's done some good stuff. He's done some good stuff.
Golly.
So should we just hop into this? Because there's a lot to unravel here.
Yeah, there is a lot.
Do we just want to get straight into killing this franchise?
I'm pretty sure David Gordon Green took care of that for us.
Yikes.
All right. Before we get into it, let's go over the info and the numbers on it. Halloween Ends, obviously 2022. It was just released. Directed again by David Gordon Green. This is the third in this new trilogy. Rated R, 1 hour, 51 minutes long. Written by Deborah Hill. Oh, no, that's characters based on characters created by, I think David Gordon Green wrote it, didn't he? Maybe I'm mistaking.
He did
with Danny McBride.
Danny McBride, who also helped write the others.
Chris Bernier. So the same people that wrote the other two. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has some gross scores. 41% from the critics, giving it a 5.1 out of 10.
It's not that surprising.
Well, that's because they're right. 57% from the audience, giving it a 6.6 out of 10.
That's a little more surprising. A
little bit better.
Actually, not really. Not I can understand that.
Much better. Well, yeah. I mean, like, shit movies get shit scores. What's not to understand?
We're gonna have to. I don't think that this movie. I know for a fact why people are giving it such low scores, and I don't think this movie deserves it.
We'll get into that.
But
on IMDb, again, 5.1 out of 10. I mean, it's.
But listen, I want to bring this up, and I have read some of the reasons, and I disagree with some. I totally agree with others.
Yeah, 100%.
But here's the thing: to prepare for this. What I didn't mention in movies that I watched this week, I watched Halloween Kills.
That movie's not that great.
No, that movie's.
But this is what I'm saying. That movie was terrible. But that has a 5.5 out of 10. There's no way, no matter what you think about Halloween Ends, there's no way it's worse than Halloween Kills. There's just no way.
No.
So I think people are upset because it kind of fizzled out, and this is supposedly the end of the franchise, and people are upset and they're just trolling it, giving it super low scores that probably if they stop to think about it, it doesn't deserve.
I don't believe that. I believe they're upset, but I mean, we'll get into it. This has some of the same bad stuff that the last one had. It's not good. We'll get into it. Before we do, though, we'll quickly run through the cast. The returning cast members, Jamie Lee Curtis, obviously as Laurie, Andy Matichak as her granddaughter, Allison, returning from the previous two. Will Patton returns from the previous two. The only new one really worth mentioning is Rohan Campbell as Corey Cunningham, a new character that we will definitely dive into. And music by John Carpenter, obviously. Yep. And worked with his son.
He's worked with him for the whole trilogy, I think.
I know he was involved because I saw his name when I was watching Halloween Kills and looked it up. So I know he was at least involved in the last two.
I feel like we don't really have to talk about it. If it's music and it's done by John Carpenter, it's amazing. That never has changed. I don't think that ever will change.
Yeah,
that was great.
No notes.
It was fantastic. Yeah, I mean, the end. That can't be disputed. So let's get into, you know what? First of all, should we? I mean, are we just going to get into spoilers?
Impossible to dissect this movie without talking about spoilers. So if you haven't seen it, this is your spoiler warning. Go watch it and come back.
Absolutely. So the main synopsis, according to IMDb, which is nothing. It says the saga of Michael Myers and Laurie Strode comes to a spine-chilling climax in this final installment. Okay, that's not really a synopsis. So basically the synopsis, add on to this if you want, but essentially what it boils down to is this is the last in this trilogy that has tried to explore not only Michael Myers, but his impact on the community and how evil itself is the bad guy and how Michael Myers' evil has seeped into the residents and into this community and how it has kind of infected them and created this kind of toxic place to live. And it explores that effect on one person in particular, in this one being Corey Cunningham.
Yep. before we actually dive into it, should we just give first thoughts?
Yeah, let's do that. And Matt, You go first. You're the horror guy. You're the.
Yeah, and I'm probably going to be defending this a lot more than you guys by the sounds of it. I liked this movie. It's definitely not as good as 2018's Halloween, but it's not a bad movie by any stretch of the imagination, in my opinion. I think that it does something different, which is the main reason why I think people are so upset.
Yes,
agree. But I don't mind that. I think what they did was interesting enough. I'm mixed. Like I like it when movies do something different, but at the same time, like I can kind of like I'm like one toe into the line of people that are upset about it, because like I kind of have the same feelings a little bit, and we'll talk about that.
Yes,
but I overall don't mind the decision, and I think it's fine. I think it was a decent conclusion to the whole trilogy and the, you know, the whole Jamie Lee Curtis putting a sunset on all of this. I think it was a fine way to end it.
I kind of agree, because I mirror that. I applaud them for taking a swing at what they did, for trying to do something different, for taking a slasher movie and trying to make it mean something. I absolutely applaud them for going for that. They're trying to continue the themes that were set up in the second one. That's where this becomes an issue. I like their idea. I don't like introducing that idea in the third part of a trilogy and rushing through every aspect of it to make it a messy, clunky, underdeveloped version of what could have been better explored through it. If they would have done this the first movie and explored it over
three movies. No, not even. It doesn't even have to be. The first movie established exactly what they needed. That's fair. It was a damn good movie. So
bring this up in the second movie and explore it over two, but to try to cram this into an hour and an hour and 51 minutes, it didn't work. That's my issues. I like the idea. I have no qualms with them trying to make this mean something and make it different. It just didn't work.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I mean, number two was absolute filth. It was useless. So replace number two with what this is trying to do, but explore that throughout the second and third movies so that what people are complaining about mostly, so that Michael Myers himself is not put on the back burner and not part of it.
That's the thing, is they were trying to make two different movies here. They were trying to make a movie that set out to do something different. And then they're on top of that, they're like, oh yeah, this is also a Halloween movie. Michael Myers has to be somewhere, but he kind of shows up here and there and then is just thrown on at the end because you have to. What other way are you going to end this franchise or trilogy? But
it makes sense why they do it in the context of the trilogy as a whole, because like it's been 4 years. Like there's a time skip between the second movie and this one of 4 years,
right?
And like at the end of the second movie, they beat the ever loving hell out of Michael Myers.
But they also shot him a whole lot in the first one and burned him to. I mean,
they shot him in the head. He's Michael Myers. A few people hit him with a baseball bat. He's not going to stay down.
I don't know. They cut off some of his fingers.
I think they
stabbed him a whole bunch of times.
That was the worst part of this. Is like Michael Myers. We have very clearly established there's something a little supernatural going on here. He's more than just a man if he can survive what he survived in the first two, and then. It's like Shane said, at the end of this, they just were like, oh, crap, he has to be in this and we'll just kill him.
It had to be in a specific way. We all knew, everybody on the planet knew, they were handcuffed to the idea that it had to end with Laurie against Michael Myers. It had to. There's no other way to end this. If this is supposedly the end of the franchise, which nobody believes that, but that's how you're selling it. It has to end that way. So to have an hour and 40 minutes of a story that ultimately amounts to nothing, because then the 10 minutes becomes that ending, which is completely disconnected from what we've just explored.
Yeah. Let's start over. Let's talk about the way it starts.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're introduced to Corey Cunningham, who is babysitting this just annoying bratty little boy. And the circumstances end up, he gets locked into this room by the boy, and he's trying to kick the door down to get out because he's a little freaked out about being in this creepy room. And the boy's standing outside of the door, and when he finally kicks the door open, he just knocks this kid off over the balcony, and they're on, what, third floor of this house? Like
that. And like the kid falls through. It's a big house.
Yeah.
And he's seen around town as this murderer of this kid, even though it was very clearly an accident. He was not charged with anything. He's free to go, and they explore the idea of that Michael Myers has been gone for 4 years. This town needs a boogeyman to take their hate out on. So they turn Corey into this boogeyman, like he's some kid killer.
Right. And it's the theme of like Lori mentions in her unnecessary voiceovers that are just there to spoon feed us this theme. It, you know, the evil changes shape. Oh yeah, we get it. Okay. It's pretty, I don't think this is as smart as they think it is, this whole concept, but whatever, that's fine. That's how Corey Cunningham is like the evil has changed shape and it's yeah, kind of well, infecting and then, him now.
And that's fine. And that actually is a pretty effective way to start the movie. Like, you know, he did a bad thing, but it wasn't intentional. And he's a good person. And then the way this town treats him, the way these four dorky band members who think they're cool treat him.
No, hold on. Hold
yeah,
on.
No, I know what you're going to say.
Kudos to this movie.
Yeah,
for being like, you know what? Forget jocks. The dickhead tool bags are the band members.
Yeah.
Is the best idea this movie came up with. That's
because I did laugh out loud when the guy who just thinks he's so cool pulls up in his daddy's expensive car and he's like, we're in the effing marching band. Like, no, my God.
No, that was so great. And like this kid just wearing a mullet and just carries his freaking drumsticks. It was, yeah. That was fantastic. I'm not hating on any bit of that. I thought that was a stroke of genius.
But anyway, so these guys are just picking on him and more than picking on him, like physically abusing him.
Yeah, I mean, they throw him off a bridge. So.
Yeah. After. Yeah. Well, anyway. Yeah. So it all piles up and he can't take it anymore. And then it ends up, he sees Michael Myers, and Michael Myers apparently sees the evil within him and lets him go. And now he's become kind of the new Michael Myers ish.
So let me ask before we move on. We've kind of discussed that general idea of the movie, the plot of the movie.
Oh, wait. And on top of that, Jamie Lee Curtis's niece, what is she to her?
Granddaughter,
whatever the hell she is. Anyways,
she's Judy Greer's daughter. Judy Greer was good.
Speaking of bonus points, Judy Greer's not in this one.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, the one good thing about Halloween Kills, the last one, is that they actually killed her character off. Golly. No, anyways, there's this awful, really forced, very fast love story between Allison, Jamie Lee Curtis's granddaughter, and Corey that, you know, is part of this pivotal relationship thing going on there in the middle, but
right. Ugh, and
it was bad.
So before we discuss
what we do and don't like about the specifics of the plot, that general plot that we just outlined, are we all in agreement that we have no issues with that general idea and the general plot and the fact that they did take this swing at something different than a just straight up slasher?
Yeah, I don't mind it at all. And that's, I think that the main reason that people are so upset and giving, like, going on to Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb and just trashing this movie
is
because it's the Corey Cunningham show. And but that's not first of all, a bad thing.
No, because Rowan Campbell, the actor, was actually very, very good in this. I mean, I'd never even heard of this guy. I was surprised how good he was.
I agree. He was very good. So my issue is that all of the specifics of that general idea we outlined were rushed and completely underdeveloped. So his transition from this pariah to this killer was rushed, underdeveloped, unbelievable. It was silly at times. His relationship with Allison, the granddaughter, was even worse. That was that was laughable. And so you have all of this, these ideas crammed into an hour and 50 minutes, and it just, it all felt rushed. It felt too chaotic. It felt too disconnected. It felt too bad. It was bad. None of it didn't work.
See, I don't know if I'd go so far as to say it didn't work. I think that the movie probably would have benefited by, you know, going past the 2 hour mark, but I don't necessarily say that it didn't work. I mean, like I believed the relationship between Allison and Corey.
I didn't believe what this felt like to me is they had specific points that they wanted his progression to go to and their relationship to go to, and however those two connected. And it felt like it was forced to go to those points. None of it felt earned at all to me. None of it. It was just like,
I guess we disagree. Happens, like,
and now this happens because we want it to happen because it has to lead to this one. And it's like, none of this. I don't believe any of that.
See, I didn't get that. Was it quick? Yes. Could it have been better if they had slowed it down and had a longer runtime? Yes. But I don't think that it felt unbelievable. It was just a very fast paced development.
Yeah, I guess my issue is if it's believable and all of this is to happen the way it happened, Andy, that's the actress name, Allison, played by Andy Matichak, Allison is an idiot. And so there's two options. Either the relationship worked as it progressed and they did that well and she's just a moron, or it just didn't work or both, which is kind of the case. I don't know. I mean,
the two of them are like, and Laurie Strode to a certain extent as well. Like, I guess the three of them are like the town pariahs. So it makes sense to me that, you know, they would bond on to each other.
Well, sure. Sure.
Absolutely. I'm saying
it was like,
that.
Hey, the initial bond. Right. Yeah, they're like, perfect. Hey, I'm Corey. I'm Allison. Want to go to a Halloween party? And then we're just immediately into like soap opera relationship drama. And then they're making up and then they're like, let's burn the town down. Like,
right. And
just wow.
And Allison is completely blind to all of his, just like, she just doesn't notice anything. Is she that stupid?
I don't necessarily think it's idiocy as so much as she's trying to. No, I think it's she's trying to see the good in him, despite
and that's fine.
Everything that like Lori is telling her, and I don't know. Like, I'm not agreeing that
I'm being hateful, but I'm exaggerating to prove a point. All of this could have worked had they given it time to work. That's my point is she is blind to all of this stuff because she needs to be blind, because they want her and Lori to get in a fight, even though there's no reason for it other than Allison's a moron. And when you rush things, the only way to get away with things is stupidity. You see that in a lot of horror movies.
And why couldn't, if they had taken their time, if let's say this was the second one and they were going to explore it further in the next movie, they could be doing this whole Corey thing and is he good? Is he going down a dark path like they think? While Michael Myers, our star of the whole franchise, is out there doing his whole murder thing. And then they're like, whoa, is this Corey doing this? Has he gone down that dark path? Is Mike Myers
and
bad?
It could
have
been
done so much with it.
Yeah, there could have been a gray area at all. It was just Corey was a victim. This pariah of this town, victim of abuse and bullying and perception. And then all of a sudden he's like, you know what? I'm Mike Myers now. No thought, no hesitation, no guilt, no remorse. It was just nonsense.
I mean,
really.
It definitely felt like he had a Joker moment. It's like all it takes is one bad day. But
that's just not human. Give me the human part of it. Give me the him.
I agree with you. I agree with what you're saying. Like, I'm not saying that it wasn't rushed. It definitely was, but I can suspend my disbelief enough that it doesn't completely ruin the movie for me, I guess.
I agree. I think we're on the same page. I think we're just, it's affecting us differently because
I'm more forgiving of it than you.
Cause it's just, it felt pointless because here's the thing is they made this choice to do all of this in the third movie, as we've pointed out already. So it's an hour and 40 minutes of setting up this Corey Cunningham character, setting up this relationship between, he and Allison, setting up all of that just to have it end and be done and have him die and have it mean essentially nothing, have it be essentially just be a pawn to for their metaphor or for their theme that they want to portray. It ultimately meant nothing.
I wouldn't say nothing, but it definitely, having to fill all of his character into just this movie does hurt it. I agree.
Well, it hurts it because the number one complaint, it puts Mike Myers, he literally takes a backseat in his own movie.
Yeah. The ending to this franchise. Here's the thing. You want to do something different with a Halloween movie? Be my guest. You want to do something different with a horror movie? Take your swings.
I think,
but you still have to make a Halloween movie. You have to.
You can do something
different. You can't just erase the main player.
Oh, you absolutely can, because that's what Halloween 3 did. And
it's shit.
No, it's actually not.
That's what people say now, I guess, because they have rose-colored glasses, but it never was good, and it still isn't.
People hated Halloween 3 when it came out because Michael Myers wasn't in it, but once they cooled down on it and you go back and watch it now, it's really not a bad movie.
But
people are going to say the same thing about this.
Here's what they say. They say it's not a bad movie if it wasn't a Halloween movie, which might be the case. Sure, fine, whatever. And that might be the case with this. But the fact is, it is a Halloween movie. And
not only is it a Halloween movie, it is what they're selling us as the epic conclusion of this whole thing they've built.
So what should that movie be about? It should be about the conclusion of Michael Myers and Laurie Strode's story. And if you want to tell your what you think is this brilliant story about the nature of evil and its ever-changing shape and all that, you know, you whatever your pretentious crap you're selling, I get it. It's fine. Do it in a different movie. I am 100% with the fans of the Halloween movies, and I don't care, whatever. I'm not a huge Halloween fan, but the point is, you're making a Halloween movie. Make a Halloween movie.
Yeah.
Who are you making it for, if not for the people that have watched your 150 movies in the franchise up to this point?
This is only the 13th movie.
And also, that's not to say don't do what you did. It's just...
Correct.
There is a way to... They could absolutely have included Mike Myers in this throughout, more than what they tried, which was,
you know what, this
whimpering in the sewer or whatever the hell he did the whole movie.
You know what this felt like? What I could not stop thinking of is the newest Star Wars trilogy, where it felt like they had zero idea what they wanted to do with these three movies, so they took it one movie at a time and it just handcuffed what each movie was able to do. Because there's no way that they set out to make this
just
movie
like that
in
trilogy.
An hour and 50 minutes. There's no way.
They had a plan. It was make these movies on relatively low budgets and laugh all the way to the bank with their millions and billions of dollars.
But you know, as far as storytelling, I cannot believe that when they were making the 2018, 2019 Halloween, that they had any idea what that third movie was going to be.
Was this a planned trilogy from the start, or because of the success of that 2018 movie?
It was a planned trilogy. I don't know if they had all three movies like completely written out,
right. But there's no way.
The idea from the start was to do a trilogy.
Well, if they did, the fact that this is what they came up, because that second one was useless. And most of this, despite good things that they tried to do, this one was, it boiled down to mostly senseless stuff until Mike Myers showed up and fought Laurie Strode pathetically at the end.
Yeah. And well, I don't know. That's my biggest point. That's the last thing I'll say as far as the story. My biggest takeaway and the thing that hurt the most to me is that it ultimately meant nothing in the grand scheme of even this trilogy. It meant nothing other than the continuation of a theme. It that's it. All right. I don't want this to turn into a gripe fest. So let's talk about the positives, because there were some, despite my overall feelings of disappointment, there were some good things that this did. And Matt, you seem to be more positive about this than us. So you start. What did you like specifically about this movie?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, all of the performances in this movie I thought were really good. For this being his film debut, I'm blanking on his name now. Corey Cunningham, whoever the
Rohan Campbell.
Yes, Rohan Campbell. Thank you. He did a really good job for this being his first movie ever.
I agree. I've seen some reviews and some people that say they didn't like him or thought his performance was bad, but I thought it was fine. I for what was written, I thought he did well.
I think the performances are the main reason why I think that the story is a little bit more forgivable for me, because that yes, from a screenwriting perspective, it was rushed, and you know, you got to hit these beats to get through the movie, and you know, we can talk all day about that, but I think that all of the performances in this movie are strong enough that I buy into it.
I agree,
especially to his extent. And Jamie Lee Curtis is always great.
Judy Greer's not in it.
There is that. I don't mind Judy Greer.
We cannot understate that. That's pivotal to at least 2 points that I'm going to give this movie.
I don't mind Judy Greer. I really liked her in 2018's, and I think Halloween Kills is just, I don't think that's her fault.
None of it's her fault.
even the performance she gave, I don't think she gave a bad performance. That movie's just a mess. But yeah, I love all the cinematography in this movie is pretty good. Anytime that John Carpenter's making music, I'm here for it. So we don't even have to talk about that. The soundtrack is great.
Yeah, before we go too far away from what you mentioned about their performances making it believable, that I agree. While I still think it didn't work entirely, they at least took I cannot stress how underdeveloped and how rushed this screenplay is. And they took those rushed relationships or character developments, character arcs, and they did make them as believable as they possibly could with their performances. Every time I talk about the characters and their developments and decisions, none of that is on the actors. I think everybody in this did a good job.
Jamie Lee Curtis is good, but she's, I mean, other than, God, this voiceover, but that's not.
I agree. And it wasn't that the voiceover itself was bad. Like, her voiceover is bad. It's just the idea was stupid.
Yeah, and I wanted more of the Jamie Lee Curtis and Will Patton thing to establish them. Yeah,
I
want to
watch an hour and 50 minutes of them.
Yes. Yeah. I want to, if you're going to make a Halloween movie without Michael Myers, just give me Laurie Strode and Officer Frank getting over their nightmares.
That's together. My other gripe. And I know I just said we're not going to turn this into a gripe fest, but I have to mention it. If you're going to make a final Halloween movie that has zero focus on Michael Myers, why is it not 100% focused on Laurie? You can develop a theme around Laurie Strode, and why didn't you? It's not that I thought Rohan Campbell did bad as Corey Cunningham. It's that I thought that served no purpose. That could have been time spent with her. I would have watched an hour and 50 minutes of her and Will Patton's Frank character flirting and making plans about cherry blossoms all day. I would have watched that for an hour and 50 minutes and been fine. At least it would have served the purpose of focusing on the character that should have been focused on, and that's Laurie.
Yeah, I mean, that's neither here nor there for me. I mean, like, you can talk about the movie should have been focusing on Laurie. The movie's been like that. The whole franchise has been focusing on Laurie for
30-something odd years. Because Halloween Kills, I'm telling you, sorry, I just watched it. So, but I thought it was funny. Like, oh, Laurie's in the hospital. And I'm like, what the hell? Jamie Lee Curtis was like, you know what? I'm going to go make better movies like Knives Out and Everything Everywhere All right, at Once.
Yeah.
Just put me in the hospital for the entire movie and focus on the other people. So, no, it hasn't been focused on Laurie.
Well, I mean, up until that movie, it had.
You have a trilogy of movies that they just made since 2018. The original introduced some good ideas about a victim becoming not so much the victim and fighting back, and they established it. And then it's like they just forget all about Laurie Strode and turn it into the teenage drama hour with Andy Matichuk and whoever her dumb friends are in whichever movie we're watching.
Yeah, that's fair. And
yeah,
I don't know. So let's go back to positives. I derailed this back into negativity. That's my fault.
The movie kills a kid in the opening 10 minutes. That's immediately
that was like great. 5 points. And not in the way that it's great that kids died, but that scene,
No. It is.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, children for different reasons, for however you feel about children dying, I thought the scene was great. It was effective. It was a holy crap moment. It set a great tone for the movie.
At first I'm like, oh my God, is this dude about to totally bang this babysitter mom?
That's what they were establishing. Or maybe was hoping. I don't know.
Because it was really weird and flirty, but then nothing happened. And then he murdered her son. Accidentally killed.
He killed him. He didn't murder him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Manslaughter.
Yeah. He manslaughtered him.
And I will say the final, 20 minutes of the movie where Michael Myers actually shows up, pretty cool.
I wouldn't
talk about that because Aaron said, I forget the word you just used to describe it, the battle between them when Myers finally is like, oh yeah, this
pathetic
is my movie.
Pathetic is what I described.
Pathetic. The, yeah, that's
2018
strong.
Established, I think we even used the term Michael Myers was a tank. He was just, they brought him back with such a triumph in the 2018 movie. I mean, it was a hard-hitting, awesome Michael Myers. And then the second one was what it was. And then this one, he was crying in a sewer until the end. And then he got beat up by a 100-pound granddaughter and 100-year-old Laurie Strode.
Well, he's also 100 years old.
That's my point. Michael Myers is like basically at this point, he's like Jason Voorhees, where he's unkillable, and they've established. I mean, they've shot him and stabbed him and beat, and then he always just walks away slowly, staring at you.
The whole reason that they like nixed everything past Halloween 1,
right,
was because he became like this unkillable, like
I get that, but then also don't establish in the 2018 version that he really isn't. I mean, he's not just human, what he goes through and survives.
Well, I mean, they didn't turn him into like some unkillable zombie in 2018's, like,
I agree. Yeah. they was at least established, yes, that he was somewhat in the realm of reality.
Yeah, he's just a dude. I mean, they went a little overboard at the end of Halloween Kills. Like, they messed that dude up, and he just kind of walks away.
He
from
was
it, like
definitely dead at the end of that movie.
Like that. That was
poor writing. You can say this movie and the last movie it's on the writing more than anything.
The last movie, yes. This movie, not so much. I mean, like,
the climate when. I thought it was a great moment when he grabbed the mask and it was like, oh yeah, okay, that's cool. Finally, an hour and 40 minutes into an hour and 50 minute movie, we get Michael Myers. That's what I'm talking about right there. And I thought it was fine. I thought that it was a gory enough. I thought it was violent enough. I thought it was Halloween enough. It was a fine fight between the two. I thought it was fine. It wasn't great, but
yeah, I mean, it wasn't as, because when you compare their confrontation in 2018's, like, it wasn't anywhere near as cool as that. when you've got like you've got Lori, she's like booby trapped her entire house and she's doing a sweep for like that was amazing. And
that's my thoughts is going forward, Halloween 2018 is the end of the franchise.
Yeah, he died. Yeah. Well, just pretend he died where he should have.
Such a great way to deal with
he burned to death in that basement.
That's such a great way to deal with the character of Lori. Such a great way to have them face off after all these years for her to not be the victim, for her to bring the fight to him. The scene, one of the most beautiful and amazing scenes in the history of this entire franchise was the building on fire and him just staring up at her.
It's such a perfect ending.
With what I consider some of John Carpenter's best music in that specific instance.
And that's why
Holy crap.
But you get shades of it in this movie too.
But that's why I ask, why was this planned?
I struggle to believe it is.
Because I'm thinking they said, let's make one movie and see what happens.
Yeah.
And this was his story in 2018, I mean.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh God, we need two more. That made $1 billion. Go make more. I mean, yeah,
I tend to agree.
And I think that's why horror fans movies definitely
suffer from that. You get a first installment.
Look at the original Halloween was a standalone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Carpenter had we got no lucky with number two movies. Was fine. And then it just jumped the rails and got silly and weird and crazy and bad. And this trilogy did the same.
I don't know. I mean, because you still get shades of that movie, and even you get callbacks to the original Halloween too, which I like is a nice touch. You got the when you've got Lori looking out the window, and instead of Michael Myers standing there, it's Corey.
Love like that.
That's a neat moment. You've got when Michael Myers kills that girl and he pins her to the wall and he does a little head tilt. I love that moment.
Yeah.
Even at the end, like when Lori calls in her what we think is going to be a suicide. And then
that was a cool moment.
That was a great moment.
Yes.
He opens the door and she's just standing there with the gun pointed at him. Like, did you really think
that was badass?
Like, that's amazing.
100%. I was like, that's friggin' Lori Strode right there. That was badass. 100%. I'll give you that. With all the griping I've done, there were absolutely good moments and great touches. Even the little where she grabbed the knitting needle at the end.
Yeah.
They didn't make a big deal out of it. So it was not like an in your face fan service thing. It was just a nod. It was great. I liked that. There were bits that I did really like, but it just didn't work
completely. See, it's not like for me, it's not like the story is not Hellraiser bad, right? Like it works for me better than it's, that.
Yeah.
What about hold on? Can we go back to griping, guys?
No, because I want to. No,
mostly
not
about
yet.
The screenplay.
Not yet, because as much as so, one of the other gripes that I hear that I don't necessarily agree with, because one of the gripes I hear is that there's not as much violence and slashing and it takes too long and it's too boring to get there. Whatever. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think it was fine. They were trying to tell a story, whether it worked or not, that's up to you. But
I think this movie has a higher body count than 2018.
And it's that junkyard scene. I loved that.
Scene's great.
I thought that was fantastic. And the scene. Well, that, and then it goes into basically once the rampage starts, I thought it was fantastic. I loved all of that. Some of the kills were awesome. Some of the ways that these people suffered was it was a little over the top at times, but I dug it.
That's what I'm here for, man. Like I've gone on record saying it, and I'll say it again. My favorite, like one of the reasons why I love slasher movies so much is the kills, and this movie had some pretty good ones.
And it did, to give it credit, it did what a slasher is supposed to do. You rooted for the killers, because it's like, yeah, those really cool badass band people,
even though they were super cool band members.
We all wanted to be them, obviously, because who doesn't want to be a super cool band person? But they still deserve to die.
Yeah, they absolutely had it coming,
except for that one girl who was like kind of nice but was too chicken shit to stand up for him.
No, she had it coming too.
Yeah, so it's like you grow a spine. You get
and
what
it
you
was
get.
So I don't know if it was meant to be funny, but no. That poor girl gets run over, trapped yeah. under a fence, and she just calls like 8 people to the help me dead. Hey, you other there, help me dead. Next also, one, help me. God, you, it was so funny.
So the one that the part of that move that scene that drove me nuts is he's chasing after them in a truck and they just run in a straight line.
And they went to the Prometheus school of running
around. Right. Like you're in a junkyard. If you take a ride in between two cars, he's not following you in a vehicle. that's barely big enough for a human. Like you have to turn sideways to get through. He's not driving after you.
Yeah.
But no, they just run forward. So I don't know if that was like a haha, this is a slasher movie. That's what dumb people do in slasher movies, not or if
it just I could see it itself.
I agree. I could see it happening because these writers have a history with comedy. So I think there were some, I know there were some intentional moments of comedy. I don't know if that was one. It would not surprise me though.
Yeah.
And the one person that I really felt bad for was the stepdad. Cause that dude, I love yeah. that character.
Yeah.
Man, that character was cool.
He's super chill. He's like, I hope you find happiness.
Here's a motorcycle moment of this yeah. movie. When the mom's just being herself, just this crazy yelly, and he's just so defeated, and he just looks at Corey and just says, I hope you find love. I loved that moment so much.
Yeah, it did make me sad when he died, but at least it wasn't Corey that killed him. It
yeah, was, agreed. Kid. Agreed. Because
even after he's watching Corey kill these kids, he still cared for him and is yeah. like, oh, it's him. And he's trying to stop it from happening. Yeah. I mean, that was a good. I that's the thing. I don't mind spending time with Corey and in this story and these characters. It just didn't feel like the right moment in the ending of a Michael right. Myers trilogy.
And
or I guess
yeah,
or
I guess here's four I think of them. The best lost, way to solve all of the problems is to just say Halloween Ends didn't happen. This is the second, or Halloween Kills didn't happen. This is the second movie, and then extend it from there. Like make Michael Myers. He's still out there. He's still on a rampage.
That would have been great. Or
like there are parts of Halloween Kills that you could use in this and it would still work. Like the whole, you know, the firefighters going to put out the house and he kills him and escapes. And now he's out yeah. there. And also yeah. you've got Corey, and then you can continue that.
Or Judy Greer dying. Movies. We don't want that to not happen. That's going to be back.
We keep saying Judy Greer. To be clear, we mean her character in that.
Correct.
I correct. Don't think she's a bad.
I don't wish she would die.
She's not. It's just that character was so awful.
Yeah. Agreed.
Just so in that movie.
Hear me out though. Hear me out as what would you feel about this? And I felt like this is kind of where the movie was heading, and I felt like this was a good opportunity. Is the whole thing about Michael Myers and was he born evil? Was he made evil? All that's been a theme throughout the franchise. I thought this was gonna go like there was gonna be kind of a battle for Corey Cunningham's soul, if you will. That sounds corny, but I thought it was gonna be like he's Lord, he's this, the evil has a hold of him, it's infected him, like they say, and they would have to try to save him and or talk.
I'm glad
to
they
deal
didn't
with him.
Do that, honestly. I would have disliked that more. I like the way that his character goes out. I thought that was brilliant writing. It just happened too late in the movie. I think that if you had brought in his character in this, like if you had made this mostly the second installment and he does himself at the end of this movie the way that he does, and then that pits, you know,
well, that part's fine. I think more of a, because Shane already touched on it, more of a struggle in between there somewhere, rather than just flipping the switch from a likable character that is struggling with what this town is doing to him. Well, and it just flips a complete 180 to he like this careless killer.
Yeah.
And that's it. That is what killed me, because it does
happen.
What I was really wanting, and it would have taken balls to do this in a Halloween movie. I was wanting, you know, he kind of starts going bad, whatever. And Lori just basically says, you know, I'm done fighting. I'm done with this violence. I'm done with this endless loop. And she just tells him, I'm not fighting you. You can kill me. I still believe there's good in you. You don't have to go down the something like that. Develop that part of it. I would have loved to see something like that. But instead, it just goes the easy slasher route where just he's light switch flipped and he's a bad guy.
Yeah, which kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's the thing with like trying to fit all of this into one movie.
Agreed.
You kind of have to rush through it like that.
But... I agree. That's why.
Okay, wait. I'm going to shoehorn this in here because it's a good place for it. Speaking of flipping a switch, because it's my favorite awful screenwriting moment. Favorite is when Lori's at the bar and she's like, there's just something about him. And then the bartender, in just the most biggest stroke of coincidence ever, like, hey, I got somebody you got to talk to. And it's the babysitter, the dad.
It's the kid's dad.
She might have told him, like,
I looked she into might as well have said,
here's a good time evil. For some exposition.
It was such, I mean, at that point,
that
I
was rough. Oh,
God,
that
really,
was bad.
They didn't know how to fit this into there, but they need to tell us that he's evil now, full blown evil. I saw in his eyes.
And that's the thing. It's like we get that scene and I'm sitting there like, hell, first of all, no, like we've seen this dude. He's not pure evil. He's a guy that's going through some hard shit, but he's still a human and a good human being. There's no reason that he just like he's got the same eyes as Michael Myers. No, they're not the same. Michael Myers just went on a rampage as like a 5-year-old with a knife and has been evil since then. Like this is a good person that's been going through some stuff. There's a difference. And they just, instead of having the balls to fully explore that, they took the easy route and just made him a bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is, you're not wrong. And that is a negative to the movie for sure. But, and that just goes back to if they had just taken more time with the movie,
it all comes down to time. I think,
and I kind of wonder how much stuff was left on the cutting room floor. If maybe there was some stuff that got left out,
I don't know,
would have helped. I'm curious whenever this gets a physical release, I'm curious to see if we can get a director's cut, because I want to know what all was left out.
But what I mean, you add 20 minutes to this movie, I don't think that helps. I think it helps if you have a whole nother movie to develop these things,
maybe. I'm just curious to see what was left out, because if we had an extra 20 minutes that would make it feel like less of a sudden 180 from his character being just this kid who gets pushed too far to now all of a sudden he's a serial killer, like there has to be something that was left out, because that's such a jarring, abrupt,
it is,
character change.
Agree.
That I think that there's something that was left out that could have helped smooth that transition. I don't know if they were like, if they had to get it under 2 hours, like you don't have to, like you can make a longer movie, it's fine.
Well, so the reason I would suggest 2 hours is or a whole nother movie, do this plot line over two movies, is then,
oh, I agree
completely. One, it's not rushed. Two, you don't have to just jarringly push Mike Myers off to the sideline.
Yeah.
Maybe you still please those hardcore fans that say that's not my Halloween.
And this isn't the end. I would bet a lot of money on that. This movie doubled its budget already.
I think it's the end of this particular.
Well, I'm saying, but how,
like, they're going to make more Halloween movies.
Yeah, they'll just, how do they do it though? What do they do from here?
Well, they're not going to continue this storyline. They'll reboot it.
It'll be like a copycat killer. And if that's the case,
I think they'll entirely just reboot Halloween. I think Matt's right. Like they did with that Friday the 13th movie where they just remade it, rebooted it. I think that's the route they're going to take eventually. And it's probably going to be, I don't know, 5-10 years, maybe.
And then it's just they just forget about Lori and Frank and everything.
Yes.
No, I mean, they could just
or reboot, have it. Lori, but yeah, I mean, do their own story.
New characters, and, new, yeah. like, or new same characters, new actors.
Yeah, they'll reboot.
I would be so uninterested in seeing any more of this if they're just going to read.
Of course you will, but you know what it's going to do?
It's double its money. Budget in the opening weekend. Yes.
It's going to make money. But right. I hope they don't do that.
I would, if I had to bet how they're going to continue the Halloween franchise, I would put the most money on just full straight on reboot, remake, whatever you want to call it.
Well, I think this would have been an interesting path for a complete re. Like if Mike Myers was gone and Rowan.
That's
Campbell
the other thing. So we've been saying if this was the second movie, it would have worked. If this was the first movie and going forward, that would
Mike Myers fantastic. Is no longer in the picture, and yeah. here's your new Mike Myers type of guy.
100%. Like this dude crawls in the tunnel, and there's Mike Myers' dead body or something. Yeah, like I agree. If this is moving forward. A first movie and you give time to develop this character and you have a Mike Myers type character that is more sympathetic, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
But like I said, Corey Cunningham, is that his name? Cunningham dies. And so it's all basically pointless.
Yep. Exactly.
Well, and I still don't say that it's pointless.
In the grand scheme of anything in this franchise, what did that accomplish? Because my argument is that it was pointless, except for in the context of the theme they're trying to hammer into our face.
Well, and that's the thing. The theme doesn't apply if you're trying to say, you know, was it the town that did it? Was it the, yeah, okay, fine. We get that. That doesn't apply to Mike Myers, period. So... again, pointless in the overall scheme.
I mean, that doesn't apply to my. I see what they were trying to do with it. It, like I said, it just happens too late in the movie because the whole reason that he kills himself is because, like, it's the whole, like, if I can't have Allison, then nobody can have Allison. And what he means by that is instead of what they normally mean by that is I'm just going to kill her. I'm going to completely drive a wedge between the two of you. So like she has nobody and that, like that,
I didn't mind that, but
that's a good idea. It just happens way too late.
But then 10 seconds later, it didn't work.
Yeah. So it accomplished his whole storyline meant nothing in the grand scheme of this franchise. Nothing. It meant nothing.
I guess from that point of view, I can understand where you're coming from with that. Like if if this had been the overarching plot of two movies and he killed himself and it drives that wedge between Allison and Lori, like that works. That's a good idea. And then, you know, Michael Myers resurfaces and they Allison realizes, oh, he actually was bad the whole time and whatever, but they cram it into the last 15 minutes of the movie. So at that point, it doesn't really serve anything other than it being a neat idea that just didn't go anywhere because they didn't give it enough time.
That's kind of my ending thoughts. Neat idea, ultimately nothing. But we're up against the clock, so let's get into rating it. Matt, this was my choice.
Yeah, this was your
pick. Hey, remember when I didn't know my own choice? I'm gonna go last. I feel like I might bring it down. I don't know.
Do we want to set the bar?
Yeah, Matt, start it high.
All right. I'm going to give it a 7. It's better than Halloween Kills. It's not as good as Halloween 2018. I like everything that they did in this movie. They just didn't give it enough time.
Yeah.
That's really my biggest complaint is that they didn't give it enough time, but I like all the ideas that were presented. I love, you know, all the performances, everything surrounding the movie is great. It's just that it wasn't long enough. This should have been at minimum a 2.5 hour movie. At maximum, it should have been the second in the trilogy.
Yep. Yeah.
Agreed. Aaron.
Yeah. I'm at, God, and I hate this. There are good things, but those good things were either, like we said, pointless or just not in it enough. I wanted so much more of Will Patton in this movie with him and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Any movie could benefit from more Will Patton.
You're, yeah, that's
just,
right.
Just put him in every movie.
Right.
but it's particularly this, because it just brought something else to it, like that they were getting past it.
Yes, and how lovely was it to see a happy Laurie Strode?
Yeah.
Like, I could have just watched that movie.
Yeah, and even the I guess another positive, I will be looking forward to whatever Rowan Campbell does from here on out, because that performance was pretty darn good. I mean, very,
especially
very good.
For an underwritten, underdeveloped character.
Yeah, and a guy that hasn't had much of a filmography to this point, I hope he gets more chances, because that was good. But the movie as a whole did not work. The trilogy as a whole did not work. I'm at a 4.5 on this thing.
Oh, wow.
I just, there wasn't much other than few fleeting moments of good performances and characters that I wanted more of, but it just fell apart and did not work as a whole, and it, for the franchise or for the movie itself. The bright spots were a few acting performances and a soundtrack that's as good as you'd expect. So 4.5 for me.
Yeah, Steve also watched this. He sent a text with his score, no explanation, but his score is a 5.5. And that's exactly where I'm at. I think it's a 5.5. I mirror everything that you've all said, basically. Rowan Campbell, very good. I wish we had more Will Patton. I loved seeing Jamie Curtis as Laurie. I loved seeing a happy Jamie Lee Curtis, or Laurie Strode, I guess. There were ideas, and they didn't work. This is a failed opportunity. It's a swing and a miss. Kudos to them for taking that swing, but it's an absolute miss. It didn't work as a whole. It had certain moments. It had certain things that I enjoyed. I always love hearing John Carpenter. I probably will listen to the soundtrack. I will never watch this movie again. I'll watch the Halloween 2018, and that's going to be the ending. That amazing, perfect, one of the best images and moments in the franchise's history of him looking up at her as he's trapped in the burning building. That's how it ended. In my mind, that's how that was.
Yeah, for me too.
That's definitely not the worst headcanon to end it on.
It was beautiful. That was that's one of my favorite moments in all of horror movies, with that music that plays, that imagery. I loved it. And nothing in this even came close to that. So yeah, unfortunately 5.5, which I don't know what the hell that brings our score to. I didn't do quick
math. 5.63. It was our final score.
Okay, so that's a C minus, and that's
I can't
agree with that. Aaron, you got a real quick this or that?
Yeah. I mean, again, it's not far from our last two movies we've done. So we'll just do a few of the same. This or The Guest.
The Guest.
I'd probably go The Guest.
Yeah.
This or Original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I'd probably go that.
I'd probably go that.
Yeah. Not happily, but yeah.
This or Hellraiser, the one we just watched.
Oh, this.
Yeah. This or The Wailing, which we just reviewed.
This.
That was just too long.
Yeah, only because of that I'd pick this. This or Child's Play.
The original? And,
yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Probably that.
That's a fun movie.
Yeah. Toss up. Yeah, exactly. At least it might be fun to watch, revisit. This or Austin Powers, very similar.
Austin Powers.
Wait, which Austin Powers?
The first one.
Oh, this.
Yeah, maybe. I'm trying to find another horror movie. Okay, this or Nightmare on Elm Street, Dream Warriors.
That. I love
that. Probably that.
Yeah. All right, that's it.
Yeah, this was too bad. I was really looking forward to this. We've got a few minutes left. Let me ask this, because I know after the 2018 Halloween, David Gordon Green was on my watch list for horror directors. Have the last two movies in this trilogy soured you on him?
Yes.
Or are you still going to watch him?
Because you know what he's remaking next?
No, because
he's remaking The Exorcist.
Okay. I think, as a director, it has not soured me, because he didn't write the screenplays for these.
Yeah, so he did.
Like, he did.
Partly.
He and the guy, I can't think of his name right now. From
as long as he's behind the camera and not behind Danny McBride, then it's fine.
Yeah, I, you know, maybe give him a chance if it's a standalone movie.
Was Danny McBride, did he write all three or did he only write the first one?
I'm pretty sure he wrote all three.
He helped write all three.
Did he? Okay. Because I was going to say, maybe that's where we went wrong is the Danny McBride.
I think all the, it was the same group of writers.
Let me see. Maybe he wasn't involved in the first one. No, he was. Yep.
All right. Well, yeah, as long as he's behind the camera, because I think he's a good director. I just admit the screenplay. Screenplays on the last two Halloween movies is kind of
wow. He really is filming it's a sequel to the 1973 movie. Okay, so he's basically doing the same
treatment they did 2018 to Halloween.
Yeah,
but they already did that. It's called Exorcist 3. That's a good movie.
Yeah, we reviewed it.
That is
unfortunate. Did you also see that he has in the works directing credit for a Hellraiser TV series?
I might be interested in that. It can't be worse than the
maybe you're right, maybe that would be the one we want. So anyway, all right, let's end this thing.
Boy, yeah, I forget what you said already. 5.7 something.
Yeah, it was 5.63.
yeah,
email us and let us know what you thought. I'm curious.
Yeah, I'd be interested. I'm curious to hear what everybody thinks. Please do let us know. Let us know where we were right. Let us know where we were wrong. You can hit us up right on the website, moviereviewcrew.com. There's a place to submit any suggestions, anything you want us to watch, any of your thoughts. You can also hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We have a letterbox, however you want to reach us. Let us know what you thought. And if there's nothing else, I guess somebody end this thing.
Tell your friends.
Let's go. But inconspicuously. Through the window.
Lady, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave the store.
Okay, that's it. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Game over, man. Game over. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do?
Good night. And good luck.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Movie Review Crew. Remember to like us and find us on any of your favorite social media platforms, as well as go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.